You know, I have to be honest with you. 40 years ago, at the age of 31, I had come to Florida. I was doing youth ministry. I was doing a lot of things. But one of the things I like to do more than else was I loved going surfing back in those days. I mean, I surfed as much as I could. And the waves were really going off in Cocoa Beach this one day. It was in the spring. And, I mean, they're going off. And so, you know, I bagged work, and I was just going to go over and go to surf in Cocoa. I'll never forget leaving the Orlando area and getting in my 69 VW Bug that barely stayed together and took off. I was so excited to get to the beach that, to be honest with you, I was speeding and I got pulled over and got a ticket. But I took the ticket, but I still wanted to go to the beach, so I drove a little further, and on my way there, I had to make up for lost time, and I was going a little faster, and boom, I got pulled over again. Got another speeding ticket. I finally got to Cocoa, and I came through there, and I blew through a stop sign, and I got pulled over. When I got stopped the third time by a third different cop, I looked at him, and he said, "Sir, you just ran a stop sign." And I pulled out one of the other tickets. I said, "Can't we trade off here?" But he didn't. I'll be up front with you. I didn't even think at that age. I don't know where my head was, but to be honest with you, you know, I didn't realize that that was going to mean that I'd lose my driver's license. In that process, I learned something real clearly. That driving is a privilege, not a right. But it can be taken away from you. And it's not necessarily always easy to get back. Cost you lots of money. Cost you lots of time. Cost you a lot of inconvenience. You know, I start the sermon for today off because I'm going to try and tackle a subject that I think touches all of us a lot, and sometimes, at least for me, sometimes I sort of have to sort through it. And that's the difference between a right and a privilege. What is the difference between a right and a privilege? To be honest with you, the definition that I got is a right is something that can be done because it originates commonly within all individuals. A privilege is something that cannot be done without permission. You know, I think that line between rights and privileges has gotten really gray lately. For a lot of us, some people interpret things as privileges when they're really rights, and some people interpret things that are rights that are really privileges, and we sort of call about things in different ways to make it suit what we want the reality to be. So, when I read the story of the scripture today, in the gospel, I thought to myself, you know, what was going on in here in those days? Let me walk you through this a little bit. Jesus has been now in ministry for probably at least 2 years. He's well known. I mean, he's recognized. He's a celebrity. And he decides he's got to get out of, you know, let's call it Israel proper, and get over to the region of Tyre and Sidon. It's over on the coast. And he goes out, and really what he wants to do, I think he wants to get a little bit of a respite. He wants a vacation. He wants to lie low. It says he doesn't want anybody to know. He goes into a house, and he doesn't want anybody to know. But lo and behold, there's a woman that's there who's from Syrophoenician origin. Another kind of translation says Canaanite origin. But she's a Gentile anyway, cut it, okay? She's not from the nation of Israel. Sees that it's Jesus and needs to go see Jesus because she's got a daughter who's demon-possessed. She goes to see Jesus. And she runs up to Jesus and she finally gets to talk to him. And it says that she begs him that, well, that her daughter will be healed of the demon. Now, you may have heard this story before because basically what Jesus says to her is, well, I can't throw the food for the children to the dogs. I mean, that's a little harsh, isn't it? I mean, that doesn't sound like the Jesus of all love. But she responds back. She says, well, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He looks at her and says, that's the right answer. That's the right answer. Go home, your daughter's healed. Now, let me explain something. It almost sounds like he calls her a dog, and then all of a sudden she responds back, says, well, you know, we eat from the dog. The difference is this, is that what the woman really says to Jesus, after Jesus says, you're a dog, he uses the term street dog in the Greek. Saying, are you just a mongrel running around the street? She says, no, I'm a dog that sits under your table. A lot of us have those dogs, don't we? I'm a pet dog at the very least. I might not be from Israel, but I'm part of the family. And it's at that point that the healing takes place. You know, some scholars, you know, sort of toss this around, but the one that I liked the most was that Jesus encountered finally a woman. It says that finally he encountered a person who had the ability to have a sense of humor that was a little bit more sophisticated. That most of the people that were, you know, the Israelites that he was running were very concrete thinkers. And this woman had some sense of, you know, banter back and forth. And that's why he did it. I don't know if that's true or not. I can't read that much into the scripture. But the reality is that somehow she was welcomed into the family because she actually said, no, I might not be an Israelite, but I'm one who does follow you. And the child was healed. It says that he goes on down to the Decapolis, which is the Galilee's 10 cities. And in there's a man who's got a hearing issue and also an impediment of speech. And they come to him, and it says they come and beg him. Now, we got to understand, this guy's probably an Israelite, but they're begging. They're begging Jesus, heal this guy. Heal this guy. What does he do? He spits and he puts his fingers in his ear and he does a couple other things. It says, Ephphatha, and you know, it means be open, and boom, it's open. And he goes on. Now, let me ask you a question. The first woman, you'd probably definitely say, well, you know, the healing of Jesus was not a right. Right? It was a privilege, wasn't it? But the second one wasn't a right because he was an Israelite. I would say both of them are privileges because they both had to beg to get it. It wasn't just given to them. You know, I started to think about it, you know, in my life is, you know, how do you separate that out? How do you know? Because, I mean, rights and privileges, you live in a community, you live in a nation, you live in, you know, places where, you know, you have privileges, you have rights. But does every right mean that by God's time right? No, I get to do what I want to do. I don't care about you. No. Not if you live in a community. Because you live for a higher standard when you say you want to be a part of a community. You live for not just yourself, you live for all the people that are there. You know, if you don't believe me, let me ask you another question. God creates Adam and Eve. Anybody going to argue with me that? Okay? Creates Adam and Eve. He licks Adam and he creates him and he says, you know, I give you all the ability to all nine yards and, you know, I got you in this wonderful paradise called Eden. You're going to be in Eden. And he sets him in Eden and he says, you can eat from anything, just don't eat from that one thing, that one tree, just don't eat from that. And what do? They do the one thing they're told not to do. So, was it their right to do that? Or was it their privilege to do that? Let me give you the answer that I've come up with after thinking about it all week. They had a right to do what they did. God gave them free will. You have a right to do it. But he was hoping that somehow by being in Eden with everything there and just saying, just don't do that, they wouldn't cross that line using the rights. So that, in a sense, what happens to Adam and Eve? They lost the privilege of living in Eden. They had a right to free will, but they lost the privilege of living in Eden. You see, we choose what we want to do. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom of any attitude we want. You want to have a good attitude or you want to have a bad attitude? You're going to take everything personal, or are you going to take it to where, oh, well, you know, maybe it is a little personal, but I'm blowing it off because it's just not making my day good. I'm going to let it go. Or you're going to hold on to it. You're going to get to where, I think went out against my rights. Or you're going to live in a sense where you say, you know what, even with rights, sometimes I got to operate as though they're privileges because I want to live in a larger community. I want to live in a place where, you know what, not everybody's going to get along, where not everybody's going to agree. I'd love to ask you guys all some questions, because I guarantee we'd have a different answer from each person. You know, that's what happens. We all have our perspectives. So what brings us together? I came across, actually, an article that was an encounter that Margaret Mead, the anthropologist, once had. And she was asked by a student once, she was asked, what was the beginning of civilization from your perspective? Now, the student asked, Margaret Mead, what was the beginning of civilization? How did the origins of civilization take place? She was expecting that Margaret Mead would say, well, it was when we first discovered a fish hook or a piece of pottery or something to that matter. But Margaret Mead's answer was a little bit different. Margaret Mead's answer was, the first sign of civilization was when we discovered a femur that was broken, a thigh bone. I can relate to this one. A thigh bone that was broken and healed. That was the first sign of civilization. And the student said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know what? Back in ancient times, as civilization was starting to hopefully develop, if you broke your leg, basically you were dead. You're dead. I mean, you couldn't run away from danger. You couldn't go down to the river to get something to drink. You know, you couldn't move anywhere. And the fact that a femur was healed meant that someone else helped you. That someone else put themselves out of their own right to do what they wanted to sort of bind you up, to carry you to safety, to take care of you while you were being healed. That's the beginning of civilization. Not a piece of pottery, not a fish hook, not something we make, but rather a way of serving someone else that we didn't have to do, but we did because we were in a relationship, we cared, we loved. You see, we're best when we serve. We're best when we serve. We're best. Human race, spiritual beings, are best when they're looking out for somebody else. When they're setting their own selves aside and saying, you know, maybe I have the right to do this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose to do this. Right now, I'm preaching to the choir because y'all have masks on. The reason why you wear a mask, probably most of you, it's not for yourself. It's for the people that cross your path. It's for the people that you want to love. And you don't want to, you know, even if you're asymptomatic, I don't want to give it away. I want to help somebody else. That's why we do what we do. The reason why we go through a lot of things. The reason why we drive 35 miles an hour on Saxon is so we, you know, don't have an accident. There's people trying to cross the street. We could do 90, couldn't we? But if we want to be a part of a community where we look out for each other, then we got to live in a different way. You know, I want to end with a thought that I had all week. And that is, what do you think? You think it's a right or a privilege to be in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? What do you think? I'll be up front with you. I started thinking about it all week and I came up with an answer, and I wanted to talk to somebody that would really kind of help me think if I was right or not. And I called a buddy of mine who used to be the canon to the ordinary for this diocese, Ernie Bennett. And I said, Ernie, what do you think? You think it's a right or a privilege to be in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? It's funny, he came up with the same answer as I got. You know what that answer was? It's a gift. It's a gift. You know, I think the world would be a lot better place. I think this country would take off in ways like we never met if we would start looking at the rights and the privileges that we have more as gifts that we have to be given away. Where we actually look out for each other. Where we let things that irritate us roll off our back and move on and keep our focus on the important things, not the things that kind of just offended us a little bit. If we just do that, all of a sudden the relationships that we'd have would be a lot better, I think. We might take the time to help somebody that really needs some help that doesn't even know how to ask for help. To me, it's all a gift. Every bit of this. It's a gift to serve. It's a gift to love. It's a gift to be in relationship. Even when it's tough, it's still a gift. Maybe that gift gets its package opened a little bit slower, but it's still a gift. As you come to the Eucharist, I pray that you receive the gift that gives eternal life, the presence of Jesus Christ, the presence of God within us, who gave up his right to sit at the right hand of the Father, to come to this earth, and to submit himself to a life on this earth, not as a wealthy person, but as a poor man who just loved people. He gave up that right. So I think if it's good enough for Jesus, it might be good enough for me. It's in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.